All right, we're going to get started again. I'll repeat what I just said, and that is last week someone brought to my attention that it was hard for them to interject questions or seek clarity on certain things because Sunday we kind of try to keep it moving. So we're going to stop about 7 minutes to 11 so that we can leave it open. And anything that you have a question about, sometimes I'm going to address it later in the study, so it's not, you know, necessary to interrupt me at that time. But write it down for sure so that if I don't address something that concerns you or that you're not sure about or you didn't quite understand, you'll remember. Okay, so who joined us?
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
And somebody else joined us. Who is that?
Linda.
Oh, hi, Linda. We haven't heard from you.
Hello.
Welcome back. Yes.
All right. Richard, would you please?
Yes. Well, again, good morning to everyone that's on the call and those that may be listening in at a later time. Good morning or good afternoon, whatever day of time you're listening. But we are so thankful that God has brought us to this hour to gather together as one body in Him, to hear from the Lord and to worship Him and to praise Him and to just give Him thanksgiving for all that He has done for us all. Even though sometimes it seems like, where is God? He's always there. We just got to keep our focus on Him despite of what we deal with, what we're going through. And remember that a Christian life or a godly life is not short term. It's for the long haul. And that as we go through this, it's a process. And that God will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And we're so thankful that that is His word, that is His promise, that is His word is true and final. So rejoice and be glad that this is the day that God has made. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us this brand new day of this brand new week. We give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you for your faithfulness, your mercy, your kindness. Bless you, Lord, that you made an awesome sacrifice, that you gave your only Son in the place of our sin. And you have washed and cleansed us all today. You've given us a new start in life. No matter what yesterday or this morning was like, we have a new start in you right now. Lord, you give us a new beginning every day. And we bless you and we praise you for that. Lord, as we humble our hearts in your presence, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would wash and cleanse us all, and that, Holy Spirit, you are welcome into this place. Come in, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Come in, Holy Spirit, and take over everything that's going on in our household, in our minds, in our bodies, any pain or suffering, any anguish that we may be dealing with. Take it over, Father, and give us peace right now, Father, so we can clearly hear from you. Let your Holy Spirit have its way in all of us that at the sound of my voice, Lord, will hear from you. At the sound of the word that will be preached and brought by Jeanette, that your word will be truly transparent to us and that we can hear it and it goes deep into our souls. And that, Lord, we learn more about you so that we can live for you each and every day. And for the reader, Lord, Alexandra, Lord, we welcome her back, Lord, as she reads the word, that, Lord, you would touch her. And let your anointing fall afresh in the new one, Alexandra, that, Lord, she'd bring forth your word. And our ears will hear clearly. Block Satan. Block the devil and all of his demonic forces that want to clog up our ears that we can't hear your truth. Lord, we surrender to you today, and we ask that your will be done. Bless this service, Father. Bless every aspect of it, Father. We thank you today, and we praise you today, and thank you for giving us another day to come to you and hear from you and to live for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's
thank you.
Amen.
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 Should I start?
In 1 second.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to be in John 16. That's the epistle of John. The gospel of John 16, chapter 1. and we're going to see where the Holy Spirit takes us. And we're going to be starting at the first verse.
Amen.
And
you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All this I told you so, that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do so things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment about sin, because people do not believe in me.
It's Andra. Can you read from an NIV? What translation are you reading from?
NIV.
NIV, this is different one.
Okay, let's do a New King James Version.
Sure. Let me switch that. Hang on.
The reason is I don't like when they just start, you know, calling him everything but what he is.
No problem. Would you like me to start from the beginning?
No, take it from verse 5.
Verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes...
Stop right there.
You're
going to stop there. So here's your quick backdrop. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for his departure. And he's giving them some insight as to what to expect. And why do you think that he's giving us insight as to what to expect?
I think it's pretty clear that, they see that the man that they love and have been with and all the things that he's done, he's going to leave us. So what are we going to, we're going to be without him now. So what are we going to do? And so he's trying to give them an understanding of what's really going on so that they will not be, they won't feel lost and left alone.
That's in part also. Any other?
I think because of Father God's love for them, he's preparing them because there will be a void and a lot of questions when he departs, and he knows that. So I think he's preparing them out of love for them.
Okay.
I have one. I also think in agreement with everyone's words, I think he might be trying to show them that he's multidimensional, that he's not just flesh, and he's got this power he's going to leave.
Amen. A key is also in the very first verse that Exandra read this morning, which is this: these things I've spoken unto you, that you should not be made to stumble. Made to stumble. What is he saying there? He's saying that sometimes when we as people run into something we really just don't completely understand or understand at all, it makes us doubt. Stumble means that we fall in our face. If he's giving you insight that this is what it's going to be like, that and that strengthens you when it happens. No matter how bad it looks, you can say, oh, but we knew this was going to happen. Isn't that what's going on right now when he gave us insight as to what the world was going to look like in our final days?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be easy to lose faith if we didn't know that the Lord already said these things would happen?
Yes.
So we're not surprised. We're not caught off guard, because if we were, we might say, well, wait a minute. If the Lord is who he says he is, Jesus is who he, how could these things be happening? It looks like the devil is winning the battle. Well, Jesus gave us a heads up. It's going to look like the devil is winning the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that increases our ability to stand, walk, and not stumble. So mm-hmm. here we have Jesus preparing his disciples, because when they start murdering Christians, when they start pursuing, when Jesus is no longer with them, which is coming soon in this time that Jesus is speaking to them, he says, I don't want you to lose faith when this happens. Remember, I'm telling you these things. Remember. Okay.
Verse 8.
Keep going.
And when, I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
Stop
verse
right there.
12.
I'm going to stop there for a sec. I also want to go back to, he tells you he's going to depart, but it is to our advantage that he departs. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Here is another case where he's saying you're going to go through a very, very difficult time. Your faith is going to be challenged. You're going to be tried by fire. But it is to your advantage that this is going to happen. Because if I don't leave, then what's going to happen after I leave is going to sustain all mankind that calls upon his name and is sealed by his Spirit forevermore. Without this, if I don't leave, you're at a disadvantage, because the Holy Spirit can't come till I go. He's even telling them that there's a reason that I'm going, and it's going to be better for you, not worse. Of course, a lot of times our idea of, and his idea of better is a little skewed, because we see things from a very limited point of view. We'll see things from an earthly standpoint, and it will not look like there's any good in any of this. And yet God is working. And what he has planned is far more important than the circumstances you may find yourself in right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Does it mean he doesn't care about your circumstances?
Not at all.
But what he's doing is greater than, is bigger than, is more important than your comfort.
Yes.
Amen.
That has rocked my world a few times. That his plan is greater than my comfort. So as we're going through a burning or a trial or a pruning, it is so uncomfortable, and it doesn't seem like any good is coming from this. But he's promised that he's not putting you through anything for absolutely no reason. Whatever you're going to go through is going to turn out to be the best thing for you. Is the best Amen. Thing for you the best thing that's for Tammy or for Richard or for somebody else?
No.
I want you to understand, each of us have unique circumstances that God uses. And why are the circumstances so unique? Because so are we.
Yes.
What it takes to get Richard's attention is not the same thing it would take to get my attention.
Amen.
What it takes the next person is not the same as the person sitting next to you. Because we're all wired very uniquely. Somebody, you can take away everything they have. They don't care. Somebody else, you take away 3 cents and they're panicked. because of where your heart is and where what you've gotten tied to here on earth.
Yes.
So every one of us, God has to deal with us individually. And he's got it all planned out. When he knit you together in your mother's womb, he knew the choices you were going to make, not because he made them for you. He just knew the choices you were going to make. And he designed a whole road and walk for you, uniquely for you. He knew the damage your parents were going to do. He knew the right things that they were going to instill in you and that you weren't going to listen. He's aware of it. Okay, keep going.
Sure. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Wow.
Stop right there.
Yes. No,
stop right there. Here we are again. When we are ministering, use wisdom. Jesus could see and know right now, this ain't a good time to talk about dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about dying, but there's other things I'd like to tell you all about it, but this just isn't a good time. Can we try to exercise that sometimes when we're ministering to other people?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to somebody about, you know, whatever you're ministering to them about, but are you taking into consideration the circumstances that they're in right now? Are you talking about, oh, gee, my Rolls Royce broke down and I had to get it fixed. That's probably going to cost me $150,000. And you're talking to somebody who can barely put bread on the table?
Amen.
Use wisdom when you're ministering to people. And ministering, when I say that, even when you're talking to people, consider who you're talking to.
Yes.
Does somebody struggling to get something together, does that person really want to hear about all the stuff you already have?
Amen.
And you say, oh, I know God's going to provide this, he's going to provide this, you know, extra 2,000 square feet that we're trying to add to our home. And I know God's going to help us with the money it takes to do that. And you're talking to somebody who's struggling to pay a rent. Think about this. Jesus sets examples in everything he says and he does for us. Use wisdom when you're talking to other people.
Yes.
If somebody is going through a hard time, do they need to hear all about yours?
Nope.
Jesus was getting ready to face a hard time, and he's still trying to make them feel better for what he's got to go through. So what do we see as an example? Make other people more important than yourself.
Amen.
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 Jesus is just saying, I've got to go. And I'm going to be leaving soon. This is going to be very hard for you. Was it as hard as it was for him? It seems to me it was a whole lot harder for Jesus to go through Gethsemane and the cross than it was for the disciples who got to run away. And yet he took out the time to be careful with what he's saying to them because they're becoming filled with sorrow, hearing the words that Jesus is leaving. They're not even asking any questions. Leaving how? Leaving when? Leaving what? What? They're not even asking. But Jesus takes them into consideration. So I'm asking us, note verse 12, take other people into consideration when we're talking to them. We're talking to them about all our problems, and we haven't even bothered to ask them, do you have any? Or we call ourselves testifying of all the great things God has done in your life, and this person is, you know, not even sure that God exists. We're not even sure that God would answer their prayers. I've just gone through something, and I made note of it. the last 2 days I was going to this area where there's a lot of people hanging out and everybody's kind of social, and a lot of them are Christians. I was flat out stunned at how many of them just blabbed and blabbed and blabbed and didn't even remember to say, what is your name? But bent my ear for 45 minutes. At one point, my grandson was like, Grandma, I'm hungry, please. Please, can we go eat? Please, Grandma. Excuse me, Grandma, I'm hungry. And they wouldn't stop. Different ones. Just talking, talking, talking. Never said, who are you? So what is your name? Do you live here? I mean, it was amazing to me how self-absorbed, and these are Christians. It's just like they just throw up on everybody. Just talk, 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 and never find out who that person is. Does that person have a need? They might. You'll never know. Because all you've done is talk about yourself. Now, I'm not saying anybody on this call is guilty of that. I'm just saying be mindful of it. And then they walk away with a big grin on their face saying, oh, yeah, I really got to minister today. Minister today? You don't even know who you were talking to.
Okay. Amen.
That person may have had a very serious need. You'll never know. Because you're not interested in everyone else. You're just interested in everybody knowing all about you. Jesus opposite. Here he is taking into consideration what they are going to feel, what they're going to go through. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, I know you guys are going to be sad, but you ain't, that ain't got nothing on the suffering I'm about to face. Let me tell you all about that. Nope. He's just carefully choosing his words to make sure somebody else is all right as opposed to himself. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Amen.
Somebody tell me what's being said here in your own words. What is he saying here?
He's speaking of the Holy Spirit and stating
yes.
that the Holy Spirit will deliver to you not his thoughts, but my thoughts, my words, my feelings.
Absolutely. And in that, Jesus is glorified.
Right.
He's saying, I get my thoughts from the Father. And the Father and I share the same thoughts. Well, rest assured, the Spirit that will be coming to you will be a Spirit of truth. You don't have to question, is the Holy Spirit going to lie to you? When the Holy Spirit is speaking, he's speaking. And he's speaking directly from what is being revealed to him. He's not speaking on his own, but he's speaking because he's because of what's being revealed to him, that they share the same thoughts now. And he doesn't speak on his own authority. He speaks on the authority given to him. Okay, keep going.
Verse 16. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. I would be the same way in Jesus Christ's name. Verse 19. Now, Jesus knew.
I want to say something because sure. That's something I don't want to just glaze over. In our walk with Christ, there's going to be often and many
Amen.
Times that we really don't understand even what he's saying. I've had dreams, for example, or a vision, for example, and didn't know what the heck he's talking about. What mm-hmm. does that mean? But you will know when he's ready to reveal it to you. Even when he talks about end times and he begins to tell us the type of things that are going to happen, we have an idea because we're listening. Well, it's going to be, you know, perverse sexual behavior everywhere. We know that. I know what that looks like, sort of. You don't know the magnitude of it. It gets worse than what you're looking at even today.
Yes.
Or he'll say there'll be wars and rumors of wars. What does he mean, wars and rumors of wars? What does he mean, earthquakes in diverse places? It sounds pretty self-explanatory. Jesus said, first you won't see me. I'm leaving. And then you'll see me. And they're like, what are you talking about? That's really not that hard to understand. It means that if I said to you, I'll see you, and then I won't see you for a while, and then I'll see you again. How hard is that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But to them, it was like a cloud of muddled information. Sometimes when the Spirit speaks to you, you're not going to understand it clearly.
Amen.
And let me give you a clear example of that. How many times anybody on this call can witness that they've read the Bible and not known what the heck it was saying?
Yeah. Amen.
They read it and like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? But as you grow in the Spirit, or you'll read it another time, it's clear as crystal. Or 3 days later, something happens and you say, wow. That's just like that's what that meant that I read in his word. So a lot of times what the Lord is trying to reveal to you, you won't have all the answers that day. You might not even understand it for a season. But if he's revealed it to you, he's revealed it to you for a reason. Please don't get it twisted. He's not just telling you stuff so you're confused. He's telling you because you're going to need it later.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to know, I already spoke to you about this. Oh, yeah, you did speak to me about, oh, and what does that do? Strengthens your faith again. God does know about this circumstance. God is still in control. He talked to me about this just 3 days ago. He told me something was going to happen. I just didn't know what he was talking about. Now I understand. And it just strengthens your trust and helps you not to stumble when things happen that seem out of your control and can cause you to stumble, cause you to question, cause you Amen. To feel abandoned. Here's a little example. A week ago, you were reading your Bible, since you only read it once a week. A week ago, you were reading your Bible, and it happens to say, I will never leave you or forsake you. And about 5 days later, you find out that something has gone so catastrophically wrong and you feel abandoned because you have no way to fix it. And there's no one to help you. And then you remember, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what he means. So you're still here, Lord? And it girds you up. It gets you strong again.
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Amen. Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you will now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Amen. And
here
in that
are.
Day,
that's so hold beautiful.
That's yes.
Can you see how important hope is?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hope. Hope. Hope is so important. If you lose hope, if you forget, if you lose sight of what is before you, if you lose sight that it's only on the other side of the mountain, but it's there. Once you lose hope, well, usually everything dwindles. We must hold on to hope. And what is our hope? What is our hope?
Okay.
Tell me, and there's going to be a variety of answers on this. What is your hope?
What
we said earlier, Father God will never leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. He's always going to help.
Sandra's hope. Richard says,
good and faithful servant, job well done.
That's his hope, that he will hear those words one day.
That one day we'll be with him and all the negative,
glory,
evil things of this world and all the trials that we go through will be gone. And we'll be able to rejoice at his feet.
Amen.
What's somebody else's hope?
Going to heaven.
Going
home. Going to heaven.
Amen.
Knowing there is one. My hope is that his mercy endures forever, and I am saved by grace and not by work.
Amen.
That's my hope. I get to stand on it. And it's a no matter what that I'm saved, no matter what. No matter what happens in this world around us, no matter what's going on in our government, no matter how many cards seem to be stacked against you, whatever be the trial, you must have hope. And here Jesus was giving his disciples hope. It's going to be hard for a while. But in the end, the world will be rejoicing. The people, the satanic forces, thought they were killing the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to have a heyday. They were going to really be rejoicing in that. While you're running and hiding, they're rejoicing. It's never been promised this was going to be easy. But we have the hope that our joy is still going to be restored. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 25.
Promises in 23. What's happening here? A transition. Remember when the disciples said, teach us how to pray, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, well, I'll teach you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy, holy is your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We know the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus is saying, up to now, you haven't been praying to me. Up to this point, you've been saying the disciples' prayer. They call it the Lord's Prayer. I don't know why, because it's the disciples' prayer. When the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray, that's the prayer he taught them. But he's saying, up to this point, you've never asked me for anything. But it's changing. This is going to change. And now anything you ask of the Father in my name, he's teaching you how to pray differently. We're not going to just keep rehearsing the disciples' prayer. Now it's time to come directly. Now, guess what? I know I'm telling you stuff that's hard to hear, but I'm getting ready to leave. And when I leave, when I come back, everything's going to be better for you. And now I'm teaching you to pray differently. I need you to pray in my name. Just go to the Father, anything you ask, in my name. I will answer this. Mm-hmm. He's trying to teach us something different. A lot of the churches even have gotten caught up only on the disciples' prayer, and I'm calling it that. We teach it to our children, learn the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, but it was only for a season. At that time, they were supposed to keep praying to the Father, our Father, which art in heaven. But now Jesus is saying, it's a new day. This whole thing, the reason I came to earth, is about to be fulfilled and changed. Now you can come to me. Pray in my name. Anything you ask in my name, expect it. You will receive it, that your joy may be full.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to see that as we go through the Bible, it's not that one part contradicts another part. It's that the story, it's a complete story, and the story changes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we started with a covenant of laws and rules. And by the end, we're at mercy and grace.
Mm-hmm.
This is the process of the journey of the Word of God. So understand your prayers now should change as Jesus is telling them everything is changing here. Okay, verse 25.
These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Verse 29. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them.
What's going on here? What is going on here? Because it's kind of, if you don't stop and really, it can be kind of, okay, it just sounds like a lot of, what is he really saying here?
Well, they had an epiphany.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, they had an epiphany. They now understand what he's speaking, what he's saying.
Jesus is letting his disciples know that I won't have to stand in the gap for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I won't have to go to the Father and pray for you. Remember, and this is all because he knows what's coming, the resurrection. Remember when he told Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat?
Mm.
And he said, but I will pray for you that Satan will not have his way. Jesus is saying things are changing. Now I don't have to go to the Father on your behalf because the Father loves you too.
Mm-hmm.
And who had arranged this? The Father. The Father made an arrangement where we can now go directly to him.
Yes.
It sounds simple, but it's important. Jesus is saying, you can go directly to the Father through me, through the blood that I'm going to shed that you still don't understand. You won't understand till it's done. Okay.
Verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen.
Okay, we're going to stop there. We are going to flip over to 2 Peter. Tammy's going to read, starting at verse 1.
2 Peter.
King James.
Yes.
I'm sorry, 2 Peter 5.
Verse 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse
3.
1.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking around according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.
Keep going.
For this they willfully forget. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, Spirit is tying together. Jesus is leaving. His resurrection, the change of direction for mankind because the Holy Spirit came. And now we flip over, and in Peter, we're talking about Peter, one of the apostles, who has written a letter, is saying, don't get it confused. A lot of people, remember we started out this study today talking about how easy it is that if we don't understand something, we begin to lose faith.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not understand even some of the words that were spoken, or we don't have insight, we can stumble. Well, here we have scoffers in the last days. We have scoffers in the last days that are going to come to help you stumble.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say everything has gone on just like it always is. It's going to continue to go on like it always is. Things are going to get, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, people who died 100, 200 years ago are still dead. So I'm just saying Jesus is not coming back. He is not fulfilling his promise. They are here to cause you to stumble. But Peter comes back and he says, oh, beloved, please do not forget this one thing, that a day to the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. You don't understand the timing of heaven. What may seem like God is delaying his coming, or what may seem like he's not coming at all, or what may seem like time has to be up, everything that was going to happen that he said would happen has happened, not to the magnitude yet. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's still coming. Don't let scoffers tell you, yeah, well, they've been saying that forever. Peter says, let me get you to understand this. And I know Peter had to be just, well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't forget this. 1,000 years to God is a day. And a day to God could be 1,000 years. So understand what he's saying there is you don't understand the timing of heaven. Amen. We are trapped in time, mm-hmm. day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. Heaven is not. Heaven is eternal. He set a time confinement for earth. Mm-hmm. He had the earth to rise at a certain time and to set at a certain time. And what we know as noon and the sun is straight up. He set the confinement of time for earth, mm-hmm. so that we wouldn't be here too long with what's going to, as it's going to, isn't that great that he set a confinement of time for earth?
Yeah.
Because if everybody just had no time limits, how bad could it get?
Right.
But he set a time limit. Heaven doesn't have a time limit. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the start. He's the finish. Mm-hmm. He sees it all from the beginning, and he sees it all. So he's saying, don't try and line earth up with heaven.
Mm.
And don't let scoffers take you down that road.
Yes.
Once
amen.
Again, just because you don't understand does not mean that God is lax in keeping his promises.
Yeah.
How dare we even go down that road in our mind and think, oh, well, he's not really coming. He's not going to keep his word. Mm. He can't restore. As bad as this earth is, what about global warming? He can't fix all this. Mm. How dare we think that God will not keep his word? His word says that this earth will burn with fervent heat. And then there will be a new earth. That's what he said it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. Now, whether you can see it or understand or how did we get there, no, it's coming because he gave his word. And then he reminds us, don't forget, it is not because God is slack on keeping his word, mm-hmm. as so many of us are slack in keeping our word.
Preach that. Amen.
Sidebar, children of the living God, if you say you're going to do something, do it. And if you say you're going to do something, do it when you say you're going to do it.
Yes.
These are ways that we are a reflection of God.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we miss the very simple things. We want to be a big mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be recognized. We want to be this. We want to be that. But how about just be a person that does what you say you're going to do? And if a person says, well, gee, you always do what you say you're going to do. You always do what you say you're going to do, and you do it when you say you're going to do it. I admire you for that. And then you turn around and you say, well, that's just God in me. That's his spirit that leads me to be that way.
Amen.
What do you mean by that?
Yes.
You've been a living testimony. You've shown people something they don't see here on earth very often. Because people now don't do what they're going to say they're going to do, much less when they say they're going to do it. These are the little ways you're a living testimony. These are the ways that your character and your integrity are built in the eyes of somebody else. And this is an attribute of God. He is not slack in keeping his word.
Amen.
Amen.
So for those of us who may struggle with that, like overcommitting, how about stop that? Don't overcommit if you really can't do.
Yes.
Because then it makes you appear to not be sincere. And that is the opposite of God.
Amen. Amen.
But anyway, for those who are saying that God is slack and he's not really keeping his word and all of that was a bunch of yin-yang, well, Paul reminds us, understand this. It is not that God is slack. It is that God is long-suffering.
because he wills that nobody should perish.
Yes,
while we're saying the Lord should be here now, there's still many, many people that haven't even heard the word and understood it yet. How many people have I met and you met that say they were in church their whole life, but they don't even understand salvation? You say, well, who's Jesus? Well, he's like the Son of God, but like, I mean, that whole Trinity thing. I'm not really sure. Is he God? And they've been sitting in church their entire life. They don't even understand salvation, much less have it. So God is long-suffering, not just towards you, but the world. Every day that he delays his coming, I said delays his coming because he is going to do what he said he's going to do.
Amen.
So every day that he delays his coming gives you and I a chance to reach somebody else.
Amen.
Paul really suffered with that at one time. He said, wow, should I go to heaven or should I stay here and help? He said, I'm torn because I've seen heaven and I would like to go to heaven, but I see so many that still need. That's the heart of God you're hearing. The heart of God cares about people. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's ready to allow this world to get so bad, if that's what it takes to cause somebody to look up and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to perish. Help us. If that's what it takes, that fire has to start falling out of heaven. If that's what it takes, God is allowing, is pushing it as far as he can push it so that anybody who would repent will repent. But no, he's not slack in his coming. He is coming, and he is very good at keeping his word. And even though we may not understand that a day to the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, we may not understand the confinement of no time.
Yeah.
We have the confinements of time. He has no time. He's not confined at all. And we may not understand it. Understand that you don't understand.
Amen.
Because if you can come to terms with, I understand that I don't understand, it will help you trust the Lord.
Amen.
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 If you think that you have to figure it all out and somehow, like Job, end up with the mind of God, it's not going to happen, buddy. It's too much for you. It's too much. Just trust him who has you in his hands. Amen. Trust him.
Amen.
He knows enough for all of us. And as you grow in Christ, as he says, I'll begin to reveal things to you, by the way. I can't talk to you about everything now because it's too much for you.
Okay.
But as you grow, I'll explain things. I'm a living witness to that. Now I ask the Lord complicated questions that were so complicated that one time he just answers me, and it's made simple.
Amen.
He'll give you what you can understand at the time you can understand it. You don't need more information when you can't understand the information he's already given you.
Amen.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you, Sandra and Tammy.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
I want to share something real quick with you this morning because it just came to mind. I was talking to Micah, my grandchild, and I was talking to him about we read the Bible in the morning, and this morning the story was about two blind men that were following Jesus.
Yeah.
And they were asking. Yes, he's kind of enjoying our meeting now. And the two men that were joining, that were following Jesus, were blind. You're okay. They were blind, and they were asking. What were they saying to Jesus? Do you remember?
Yeah.
What were they saying?
They were saying,
to help me. Oh, thank
them. Yes. They were saying to Jesus, help me. I'm blind. I can't see. And then Jesus touched their eyes, and they were able to see. For those of you who know the story, do you see how much I left out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he doesn't need more than that right now. It's more than he could understand, but he can understand this, that Jesus touched their eyes and they were able to see. That's exactly how the Heavenly Father deals with us. That's how Jesus was dealing with his disciples. That's how Peter was teaching the people. What you can receive today, you'll get a little bit more as you grow. Just trust. Lord, add a blessing. Anybody have any prayer requests or any questions?
Sandra has a prayer request. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I need prayer for, I had to fire my chair yesterday, and I'm just casting my cares on God as it pertains to me graduating in December. I don't know what's going on, but I just had to fire him. So just pray to God just takes over and his will be done. Please, thank you.
Amen. He has something else. Somebody's going to, that will come along that has something else to teach you that this guy doesn't have.
And yeah. I believe that. Thank you. I receive that.
I have a very similar request. I think I'm also going through a grieving process. I'm having to let go. So I just ask that you ask the Lord to cover me and assure me of my journey as I grieve.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Linda, for grieve, and I am moving. That it'll be an easy move.
Praise God.
Praise God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. You want to start us out?
Heavenly Father, we are once again so thankful that you have given us the time to, you just put, set us down, Father. We thank you for allowing us to be right now where we are this hour of the day. So Lord, we've heard your word. And we know, Father, that you're never slothful. You're always on time. And you give us just what we need when we need it. And you surpass our understanding with it. So, Father, right now, as we are so thankful for all that you've given us in this day and all that you're doing in our lives, we thank you for the eternal life that you've given us and the life that you've given us right here on earth, that you've given it to us abundantly. Let us live a life of joy and peace, Lord God. But we need your Holy Spirit to do it. So help us, Holy Spirit. We're asking this in the name of Jesus, that you would please allow your Holy Spirit to just come and do what you wanted to do and what you designed for to do in each of our lives. For I know that you have a plan for all of us. And Lord, may your plan be fulfilled in all of our lives, in our minds, our hearts, and our souls. So, Father, have your way this day.
Yes.
Father, I pray for Alexandra that she is in need of a chairperson. But Lord, you already have that person that will bring her through. You are the one that will do all things. And you are the one that we will trust in for you doing what you have started, you set her out to do, Father. For Father, you set her in motion for this season and for this time. So, Father, I know you will fulfill what you've begun in Alexandra's life and that it will be for the glory of you, not just for Alexandra, but it be for the glory of you to, so she can touch and reach others to do what it is that you brought her to do this day. Lord, lift up her countenance today, Lord. Let the joy of you just overflow in our heart that she will not be concerned. She will not be worried, for we know we can't add one day to the things that are going on in our lives, but we know that you are the way maker. So, Lord, we're trusting that, Lord, you will make this way today for Exandra. Give her peace, Father, and a joy that surpasses understanding. Lord, we lift up our sister Terry for the grieving that she's dealing with. Lord, please touch her heart. Lord, you have grieved. You wept, Lord, but for reasons that, Lord, words just can't conceive. But, Lord, because you love us, we know that. And, Lord, I pray that whatever she's grieving with, whatever she's dealing with, that, Lord, you will just touch her heart and restore that has been taken away. Restore it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we praise you. Increase her faith, Father. Increase the love and joy in Terry's heart to share in the place of her grieving. Lord, would you do it today, Father? Right now, we're asking in Jesus' name, and we're thanking you for it. Bless your name, Lord God. And for our sister Linda, Lord God, thank you for bringing her to a place that she'll be able to move to. And may your love and your peace and your joy fulfill her heart and her new home, Lord God. That, Lord, she would have it abundantly to share your word. She would live to glorify you and touch others and tell them of the goodness of you and what you have brought her through and what you have taken her to, Father. But, Lord, you're good and faithful, and you've been that for Linda, Lord. Bless our sister. Encourage her. Strengthen her. Build a fence around her. Oh, Lord, gird up her complete heart, mind, and soul that, Lord, she would live faithfully and obedient to you, Father. We thank you for her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all that had a concern, didn't mention it today, Lord, that you would touch those concerns that they have that are on this call today. And those may be listening, Lord. Touch them, Father. Meet those needs, Father. You are our way maker, Lord. Without you, we can't do it. So, Lord, you do it for us, Lord. Do it for us, Lord. Have your way, Father. We bless you and we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Richard. God bless you, Jeanette. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a blessed week.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday,
everyone.
Happy Sunday.